All right, if you're ready, hope you've got a Bible with you. We're still in the second chapter of the book of Philippians. And we've come to that grand portion of the scripture that speaks about Jesus' ascent back to glory, which he willingly, voluntarily, and lovingly forsook when he came down to this earth to die on the cross to pay for our sins. We have considered from verse number 6 that Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we have spoken at length several times about that act of humbling himself, denying himself, and going to the cross to die for your sins, to die for my sins. But now the tide turns, and from that great descent, the passage begins now to the great ascent back up to glory. In chapter 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, wherefore, because of his sacrificial death for the sins of the world, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. How about that? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay, so in this ninth verse, it's remarkable in its depth, and it's blessed in its content. Wherefore God also. And those words, that underscores the fact, the Bible fact, that it was God the Father who put the Son to death. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Jesus Christ offered himself to die in your place and mine, to suffer the wrath of God in our stead. And because Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the will of God the Father in making that payment for sin, wherefore, because of that, God also hath highly exalted him. It would not do you any good, not in eternity, and rarely in time, but in eternity, it would not do you any good to be exalted by a man. It would not do you any good to be exalted by a group of men. It would not do you any good to be exalted by the entire human race, because those men would die, and you would die, and all of that vain glory would just crumble into the dust. I mean, you could be proclaimed a king like Nebuchadnezzar. You could be proclaimed the king like Caesar. You could be proclaimed the king like Saul, like Elvis, like Michael Jackson. I mean, men could exalt you. Men could adore you. Men could praise you. Men could glorify you. And then you would die and find that to gain the whole world and lose your own soul, that was just all an act of supreme folly. But Jesus Christ was not exalted by men, though now, yes, we do sing his praises. Jesus Christ was not lifted up and magnified by men, though now we try to hold him as high as we possibly can. But Jesus Christ, according to what we just read in this scripture here, he was exalted. Jesus Christ was lifted up by God the Father. And that makes it an everlasting matter. That makes it an eternal matter. That makes it something of lasting, permanent value. You know, and the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, Jesus, the supreme living example of this truth. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5, 1 1 Peter 5:5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, as Jesus was." Amen. "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God," which Jesus certainly did, "that he may exalt you in due time," which God the Father certainly did. Now, consider the contrast. Okay, as you read in Isaiah 14, all about Lucifer, Satan, saying in himself, "I will ascend, I will exalt myself, I will be made like the Most High." Here is a man acting in pride, seeking to exalt himself, and God surely and certainly casts him down. I'll tell you, Jesus Christ, he's the one to follow. Whenever Christians go out street preaching, at least in America, you're going to have some alcohol influenced child of 18 or 22 or 25, and they'll shout something stupid like, "Satan rules, man," as though the preacher is now supposed to just pack up their Bible and go home because he said that, said such a foolish thing. Well, Satan sought to exalt himself, and down he goes, down to the lowest hell. So I would not follow him. Wouldn't be a good idea. Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself, and up he ascends to the highest place in all the universe, seated in honor and glory and majesty at the right hand of the Father. So I think I'll follow him. I'll follow him. And many have said it. I've probably said it because it holds true. The way up is down. The way down is up. And, it's just one of those great Bible paradoxes. Okay, so in our text here, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him." Not just exalted, but highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Given him a name which is above every name. And I'm okay with that. How about you? I mean, if it's a choice between my name being proclaimed to the world and my name being adored, or the name of Jesus Christ being proclaimed to the world and being adored, let's give Jesus that place. Amen? I'm okay with that. Now, what about this name? Let's talk about this wonderful name of Jesus, which is above every name. Well, according to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read a little bit there. It's a saving name. His name is a saving name. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse number 18, says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Verse 25 says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That name is the name God the Son took upon himself when he came to this earth in a body, in the form of sinful flesh. And it is in that body that he died for our sins, and it is in that name that he rose as Savior, that name of Jesus, that is a saving name. Luke Luke is next. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 17. The Bible says there, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Through thy name. So it's not only a saving name, but man, it is a powerful name. The powerful name of Jesus. Sadly but true, in Luke 21, we read this. Luke chapter 21, verse 17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. So it's also a hated name. Now, I don't know, personally, I don't know why anyone would hate Jesus, the lover of their soul. I don't know why anyone would hate the one who loved them enough to die so that their soul might be saved, but men do. Men, women do. Religions do hate the name of Jesus. And then the Bible says in Acts chapter number 4 that it is an exclusive name. Acts chapter 4, we'll start at verse number 10. Acts 4:10. The Bible says, be it known unto you all that to all the people and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. See, it's exclusive. In any other. For there is none other name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name, the name of Jesus, is not only a saving name, it is the only saving name. If someone hopes to have eternal life, that person must call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not any other name, not any other person, not any other historical figure, not any other religious individual, not any creed, church, denomination, religion. No, no, no. There's only one saving name, and that's the name of Jesus. And then we see, as we come here to this verse we're studying tonight in Philippians, that it is an exalted name. It is an exalted name. The highest, the greatest, and that's just absolutely fine with me. Now, throughout history, men have sought to make names for themselves, and men have sought to establish the glory and the honor of their own names, but it has never turned out too well, let me show you. We'll turn way back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, back when the nations were united, back when mankind was one, and there were no divisions, no barriers between them on the basis of race or nationality or culture or language. The Bible says in Genesis 11, verse 1, starting there, Genesis 11, 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us, what? A name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Verse 4, the Lord came down to see it. Verse 6, he beheld it. Verse 7, he decided to wreck it. And verse 8, God scattered the people all over this earth. Like I said, it didn't turn out too well. But look, what was their desire? It was certainly not to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord. No, it was to make themselves a name. And God said, no, I'll not have that. And so he put a stop to that whole affair. And then in Psalm number 49, along the same lines there, Psalm number 49, the Bible says of men in verse number 11, Psalm 49:11, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. How about that? You've got, oh man, there's so many examples. Jonestown, Jacksonville, Washington, and yes, even more than one Davenport in America. It's all over the place. It's all over the place. And so what happens? People die, step out into eternity, and find out that while men may remember their temporary greatness, because of the fact that their name is attached to a piece of property down here on the earth, they find out that if they had known Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's the only name that mattered in getting them to heaven. And if they didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, their rejection of the one who bore that name, that rejection cost them their soul. And they ended up in a lake of fire. And so in eternity, it's a silly thing to think that naming a piece of land with your name so that you could be honored and glorified by future generations. It's kind of a silly thing to think that is more important than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So Bible says God has given him a name, and that name is above every name. It's above the name of Muhammad. It's above the name of Buddha. It's above the name of Confucius. It's above the name of Joe Smith. It's above the name of, put any name you want to there. And the name of Jesus will always be superior. Not because I have decreed it to be so, but because God has decreed that it should be so. Right? And not only is his name exalted above all other names, but at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. You know, men did this once. They did it once in mockery. Okay? In mockery. They did this once as fools, not knowing what they did, not realizing the magnitude of that deed. The Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 29, as Jesus is on his way to the cross, Matthew 27, 29, and when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And I think I gave you a reference in Mark also, so that says pretty much the same thing. But point being, those men, they are going to bow their knees one day, but it will not be in mockery this time. It won't be a ridicule. It won't be to make fun. All right. So Jesus Christ, he is exalted. He's exalted because he humbled himself and died for the sins of the world. And because of his great sacrifice, men will bow their knees and give him honor and give him glory. Okay, so they might do so as a saved man, as a saved woman, as they praise him for their salvation. Or they might do it as lost men and lost women just before they're banished to eternal torment in that lake of fire. But they will, according to the Bible, they will bow their knees. All right, and now in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. That's after that ascension. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ drink that cup of wrath in the Garden of Gethsemane? For every man. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ hang there on that cross? So that every single man that ever lived could escape the second death. And so that every single woman who had ever lived could escape the fires of hell. Reading on down in that same chapter, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Now, the devil is, now he's powerless to destroy anybody that will trust Jesus Christ. The devil is no longer the issue. God has made a way of salvation for anybody who will trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Death has entered into and conquered every mortal man, but the Lord Jesus Christ came and he conquered death so that every mortal man could be victorious. So, like I said, death is not the issue. If your neighbors or your kinfolk or you end up in a lake of fire in eternity, it will not be the devil's fault, and it won't be God's fault, and it won't be the fault of death. It'll be your decision to go there against everything God could do for you. Don't try to exalt your own name. Don't try to exalt yourself. Jesus Christ, if you would just put your faith and trust in his name, you can bow your knee as someone who is saved rather than as someone who is lost. But you will bow your knee. A very familiar passage, at least to us, in Revelation 20, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Hallelujah. Thank God. The one that sits on the great white throne to deal with the rejectors and the despisers and the mockers and the scoffers, those who refused his salvation, they will face the Lord Jesus Christ, and his countenance will be such that everything he created, it's going to run and hide. It's going to flee away. Heaven and earth will have fled away. And then it says in verse 12, Revelation 20, 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that if you have been dead 5,000 years, if you've been dead 500 years, if you've been dead 5 years, when time runs out, you are going to be raised up to stand before the great white throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's been exalted. And you can say, "My church taught me to trust myself." You can say, "My religion taught me to trust my good works." You can say, "I believe that just as long as a man did more good than bad." Hey, you can say whatever you want. But according to Revelation 20, if all you've got is your good works, you're doomed. The Bible did not say he was going to judge men by their bad works. He didn't say he was going to judge men by their good works. He said he's going to judge them according to their works and then throw them into the lake of fire. You see, the only hope you've got of entering heaven is calling on the name of the Lord. Nothing else matters in that day. He's judging people by their works to show them those works were not what got them into heaven. Wouldn't do it. They rejected the one thing that could. That was the exalted name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a man, he stands before Jesus Christ and he says, well, I didn't believe in you. So what? Another man says, I believe there was other ways to heaven. So what? A man says, well, I think there's a lot of different paths as long as you're sincere. So what? The Bible says you come through Jesus Christ or you don't get in. It's exclusive. That man is going to bow his knees before the Lord Jesus Christ. He will confess that Jesus died for him to deliver him from death and that he's about to die, and there's nothing that man can do to save himself. It's Jesus Christ or it's eternal damnation. Every knee is going to bow to Jesus Christ. There's not going to be a group of thrones, plural, up there, and people will bow before the God of their choice. It's not an AA meeting. You don't get up there and pick your own deity and bow before it. You are going to give honor and glory to the one whom God the Father hath highly exalted, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in closing, if I was you, and if I'd never been saved, I'd get saved right now. And there's only one Savior. If I was you and I'd never been born again, I'd get born again right now. And there's only one that can give you that new birth. The Bible says God has highly exalted one person and one person only. That's Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is one saving name and one saving name only, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. So I urge you, my friend, with all my heart, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then and only then can you be saved. It's Jesus, or hell. It's Jesus, or lose your soul. It's Jesus, or everlasting darkness. So what's it going to be? You say, well, I think... doesn't matter. Well, the way I look at it, doesn't matter. Well, I just feel, does not matter. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Well, so why not get a head start and bow your knees now while there's opportunity for you to be saved? Instead of waiting to bow your knees later when you're lost forever. And that bowing of your knees not going to help you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us such a wonderful, powerful, exalted Savior in whom we could place our trust. We thank you, Lord, for a Savior who saved us from that lake of fire. And Lord, we praise his name today. We bow our knees even today to our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.